following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. With spring, it's time to freshen up your home and get ready for summer and get rid of all those old smells with a brand new Woodwick candle. Get in and check out all the fragrances like Beachfront Cottage, Bergamot, and Basil. Clean Rain, Cool Linen, and countless others all on sale right now. Mention Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 1999 Madison Avenue, online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards! Because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to purchase smoking-related items. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. Where are we? What is this? What are we doing here? We're at 172, is that right? Yes, we are at 172. Wow. How's it going? One of the things that came across the desk this week, at least when this was being recorded, was the end of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. That was... It was a hell of a run. 147 years, I believe, is what it was. Finally came to a close. They cite poor ticket sales, the public outcry of the use of animals in their acts and such. Kind of bittersweet, really. It's, you know, circus is a dynamic art form. It's a wonderful bit of showbiz. I've actually met a couple of the people that have worked in the organization. One of them whom went to clown school, actually, the Ringling Brothers Clown School, which is like, the Ivy League of clown schools, if you will. It's quite the talent to have done that. And I've also met a guy who was, I guess you could say he was an aerialist. He also got fired from a cannon a couple of times. And that whole thing. But, you know, here's the thing. Circus is not dead, and it won't die. I think there's just too much interest in watching people do the things that they're able to do in that capacity, these thrilling treats of daring and things like that. Cirque du Soleil, of course, still a thing, and it'll be out there. So there's, you know, the circus is still going to be there. It's undergone just a massive change, I guess, with the Ringling operation closing its doors. And understandably, you know, it was a pricey show to put on. It was, the tickets were not really all that reasonable. I couldn't say they were outright expensive, but they were pricey. But it was, you got a hell of a show for the deal. We were fortunate one night at the radio station there at the Emmons building. I was out back one night and a train was coming along the tracks, which is right at the back lot of the place, and a Ringling Brothers train came by with the performers in it and everything. It was kind of cool. I was fortunate to see that, because you won't see that anymore. It's a circus traveling by rail, and those days are gone. So be it. But those folks will find work. That they do. They'll move on to other circus, and you know, circi. I don't know what the plural is, but they'll do it. They'll find their thing. They won't be the topic of this is not the circus. Lord knows we make jokes about this business enough as it is, that it is a circus. It's a crazy business that we are in, and it's nutty. There are all sorts of circus animals that work in this business, of show business in general. I'm not talking about the circus, but we use that analogy a lot. And there's also these people that like to say that they are in the business, but they're not. And these are ones that are sticking their hands out trying to find a way into the, I'm going to be in the entertainment business, and I have no talent. Those people. Lord have mercy. I have met several of those. I've had encounters with several of those. That's just how this is, unfortunate thing works. And most of us in this business have to keep an eye out for that sort of thing, because those people are trouble. There are, especially in the music business, there's a lot of people who like to hold themselves out as being promoters or something ancillary to the actual business itself. And They're out to squeeze a buck out of an entertainer. There's sort of a running gag amongst musicians that when an artist goes into a recording studio, lays out the cash, makes a record, displays their talent, as best as they can. They work with an engineer that they've paid to help them record this and get the right sound, and then they shape it and it comes together and you've got a fine recording at the end of it. The problem is the second that it's finished, a bunch of people stick their hands out. They all want a piece of it. There's publishers, there's promoters, there's marketing people, there's all these people that are immediately offering all these services, or to some extent demanding it, because that's what they feel they are entitled to do. You know, sure, it takes money to make money. There's no denying that. There's certainly a very true idiom, if you will, that is in fact a reality. But there's also a level below this that is kind of what I want to get into. It's the people that are so desperate for fame and notoriety that they will make outlandish claims and expect people in the business to give a shit. It's happened several times where somebody will approach me. They know who I am. They know what I do. This is in public, and they'll say things. They'll say something to the effect of, quote, "You need me." No, I don't. No, no, I don't. When that gets thrown out there, "You need me," that doesn't work. It doesn't fly. "Bro, you have to put me on your radio station because, you know, I'm the best that there is." And it's like, well, then who the hell are you? Why are you doing this? It's this desperation thing. There's an individual I know here in town who claims that she is she's an actress, that she's been in the biz. She's not. That's just it. She hasn't done anything. She has claimed to have. She's like anybody else. She's gotten herself involved in a couple of small independent projects. You know, those small films that get made around here that nobody nobody's getting paid for. They're just going out on they're hobbyists, you know, and they're making these little short films and nothing ever comes of it, you know. And she was being considered for a part who she didn't get because she's a brutal actor, and she didn't get the role. But before all of this, she was saying out loud, which I can't believe. She said, "I'm afraid that if I get this role, then it's going to change me. I'm going to wind up, you know, being this big star, and I don't want to be. And I was like, "Oh, shut up. You're not that. That's not going to happen." You know, it was just all ego. It was all it was like, "Oh, look at me, 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 look at me." And that's exactly what this is all about. It's going to change me. It's going to make me a big star. It's also the same person who goes to a lot of workshops and pays a lot of money for these things and says, "Well, I'm an actor. I must go to these workshops." And granted, yes, you can go to a couple of workshops and probably do pretty well. If you've got it within you as a talent, if you have the natural ability to talent, a workshop is probably a pretty good thing for you to do once or twice to kind of make sure that everything is right and everything is on point there. But still, those workshops, these people, they're just in it for to taking your money. I've talked about this before, the Columbia School of Broadcasting. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a laugh riot. That's exactly what that was. But the same thing exists for actors. This woman also claims to have been she claims to be a writer, although I don't think she's written anything. Oh, and one of my favorites, she's also a model, you see. Of course, when you see her, you wonder, well, what are you modeling with that big butt of yours? But it's the people who spend their time demanding fame and celebrity. Those people are the ones that are the furthest from it. Most of us in this business understand correctly that 99% of the work in this world happens before you step in front of a camera or behind a microphone or whatever it is that you're doing, or before you even walk on stage. All the work happens long before then. The actual performance part is the only real fun part in it, is actually just laying it out there, because you're just using your abilities at that point. Notwithstanding this show, the real work in this thing happens after it's recorded. Certainly not before it, as you can very well tell. Sometimes you're recording under very bizarre circumstances, but you know, still, it's more about what you're able to provide and what you're going to get into. Some things I'll spend some time, I'll go out for a walk, I'll run an errand or something like that, thinking, okay, what am I going to get into? What are we going to talk about? And then it comes to you, and then you just go with it. It's what you have to do. Every week there's going to be something that's got to come up. And people like this woman fail to understand that. And because of this ego that just chews on everything, it consumes so much. Then all of a sudden you become when you're not working, when you're off the air or off camera or off mic or off stage, you become insufferable, really. Lord knows I've been around it. And I bring this up because there are so many of us who have worked so very, very hard over the years to get to the level that we're at, that we have, in essence, and the euphemism is very true, that we've paid our dues. We're still paying our dues. Every time we go out and do something is part of the pile of experience that you gather over the years. And when somebody in this particular case has some money in their pocket and they're thinking that they're going to go ahead and just buy themselves a way into this and just become the next best thing, because that's the world that I'm going to choose to live in without any touch of reality to it, then it becomes a really strange place to be. I cannot imagine what it must be like to remove yourself completely from reality. And the reality is this: it is very difficult to work in this industry without the talent. And it's difficult to work with it. It's incredibly difficult. Try finding a talent agent. That's a trick. It's difficult to do, because there's so many of these assholes that are out there that think that they've got what it takes to become this next greatest big thing. And the fact of the matter is they've done nothing. They've done nothing. They just woke up one day and decided that, hey, I'm the shit, man. I'm all there is to it. I'm the guy that's going to be the next greatest, biggest thing out there. And I blame reality television for a lot of this, and specifically those stupid talent shows that you see on television. I saw that American Idol is being revived by ABC, by Disney. Oh, fantastic. Because they felt that it didn't run its course enough, so they're just going to go ahead and continue on with this charade. That they're going to pick a winner on someone's alleged talent, and they're going to, there's nothing comes from this. There's no dues that are paid. These people haven't gone into and worked the clubs. They haven't worked the bars. They haven't worked the small venues. They haven't been stood up by a band member. They haven't been stiffed by a venue operator. They haven't been hosed over by their booking person or their marketing person. They haven't gone through that experience. And yet they feel that they could just, because on the merits of my talent alone, I shall make it. Bullshit. It doesn't work like that. You cannot make it on your talent alone. You have to be savvy. You have to be experienced. You have to understand what the pitfalls are. And sadly, there's a lot of that. So now you've got assholes eating other assholes. It's cannibalistic. It's sick. It's twisted.
But you, bro, why are you in the business?
I'm in it because I've kind of fell into it, and I've been here ever since. I don't know that I'm capable of doing anything else. But I have rested the yoke of its oppressive nature onto my shoulders, and I'm bound and determined to make it work. You spend a lot of time hearing the word no. That's the rejection, and that's just it. There's this people like this woman I spoke of. This person doesn't understand what it's like to deal with that kind of soul-crushing self-doubt because she doesn't have it. And it's almost necessary that you do. Most everybody I know in this business, whatever it is that they do, whether they're a comedian or an actor or a radio personality like myself, we've all got that thing of self-doubt. It's there. It hangs on us like a goose. Like a dead goose. Like a dead-smelling, rotting goose that's been out in the rain for a while. It's there. And that is the engine that drives the whole bus. It's what makes this work. That's how it all happens. And if you don't understand that, you're never going to make it.
Chibro, you're being awful morose about it.
Well, yeah, it's because that's a reality that people will often fail to understand. That the reality of this business is that it is incredibly difficult. And it is soul-crushing doubt. It's on every turn. And it's somehow, some way, those of us that have been able to survive it, realize that if you just hang in there and you keep doing it and keep practicing it and keep operating on it and keep twisting it around and keep doing it and keep researching and keep reading and keep speaking, that eventually things will turn for you. But it sure as shit ain't on talent alone. And with this woman, unfortunately, her looks ain't going to carry it either. And you know those people. You see it all the time. That they've carried their lives just on their own looks. They got one golf club in the bag. And that's it. That's what they're stuck with. Certainly no brains. And this reality television thing is all part of that. Because they've made it where it's approachable. They made it to where, hey, anybody can do this. You know, the other one, America's Got Talent, which is sad. They go around from city to city, and they do the thing. They're trying to get people to show up and do this. They actually contacted us at Radio Memphis a few years ago and asked us to do a remote from when they were in Memphis because they wanted us to be there to help drum up support for the talent, because they knew that we deal with Memphis talent. So they were going, hey, let's get our people out here to come. And I was telling them, I told our people, look, dude, they're here, they're doing this. If you want to subject yourself to this nonsense, knock yourself out. But let me tell you something. It's not what it's cracked up to be. It's not what you think it is. They don't give a shit about what you sound like. And God help me, if I hear another person shove on to me, this woman sounds just like Janis Joplin. A dozen of these a month come my way. Well, this woman sounds just like Janis Joplin. She sings just like Janis. You should put her on the radio. She sounds like Janis Joplin. Janis Joplin. Stop it. No one sounds like Janis Joplin except Janis. And when you're trying to do that whole thing, nobody gives a shit. It's done. It's over. Do something new. It's like the Elvis impersonators, excuse me, the tribute artists. Fellas, really? That's like the ass end of show business where you are now reduced to being somebody that's already lived and died. And you have to enter a contest every month or every year or whatever it is that you do to become the greatest Elvis tribute artist in the world. Whoa, man. It's such an American phenomenon. It really is. But it's the ass end of the business. I mean, it's like a step below being a mascot for a sporting group. Not that there's anything wrong with that. A lot of those guys are really good at what they do. But I'm talking about like on a small level, like working at a theme park. Hey, see Jimmy the Chipmunk. He's going to hook you up with some cotton candy and a free ride. Ugh. It's tough. And there's something in it for everybody if you've got the talent. And the problem is most of these people don't have the talent. We've had this problem with broadcasting. It is the one of the interesting side notes about the internet being what it is it did in fact level the playing field, and it made it to where anybody could do this. Everybody could have a crack at this. And there's not a person out there who hadn't thought about it. Facebook Live is the same thing. The problem with Facebook Live, when you put live broadcasting technology into the hands of people, this is what happens. They set themselves on fire, or they blow their brains out, or they murder people. The rest of the time, it's pretty boring. It's kind of hard to get the views when all of that's going on. I forget who it was. It may have been Dennis Leary, I think it was, that was saying that when President Kennedy was assassinated, and everybody was glued to their televisions because it was such an incredible story, and then Lee Harvey Oswald gets murdered on live television, we haven't been able to turn off the TV since. How do you top that? It's the same thing that happens now. So with the result of people now that have the axe, well, I could do this too. And when they are doing it, they suck. And because everybody else gets lumped into that, the professionals as well, the professionals like myself, and I will say that, I'm a professional entertainer. When this happens and it comes to pass, I'm like, I'm talking to people trying to work out arrangements or deals or whatever that happens. Immediately, the first thought that comes to these people's minds, and rightfully so, is that I'm just being lumped in with the rest of these hacks out there. They're waiting for me to either set myself on fire or kill somebody on camera, which is insane. It's insane to think that way. I don't do Facebook Live that often. I should, but I don't. And I've actually thought about doing a taping of this show through Facebook Live so you folks can see it happen. Well, I don't know what, there is nothing really, not much to look at, but, you know, still. And maybe part of it would be interactive. Nevertheless, it's there. It's for everybody to put their hands on. And now, and I mean everybody, you've got the idiots who really think that they are the end-all to be-all because they've just now going to be the greatest thing that's ever graced the silver screen or the monitor or the radio or the phone, whatever it is, whatever the medium is. And they're doing it because they have to be seen. They're doing it because they have to be noticed. They're not doing it for the love of the art or the fact that it can be a legitimate way to live. It makes me happy to bring a smile across somebody's face. And or at least, at the very least, if I can make somebody kind of open up their mind a little bit about what's going on in the world, that's which is sort of what this episode has been about, then that's what that is. But, I mean, you know, let me implore to everybody out there, if you think you've got it, sure, try it out. You never know. You won't know until you try it. But if you ain't got it after a while, and it ain't coming to you, and nobody gives a shit about you, you're going to be swept into the dustbin of some type of history. And get out. Get the fuck out of it. Go do something else that you really enjoy. Sure, it's a dream. Everybody has those dreams. Boy, wouldn't it be great to be an actor in a big film? Well, sure, the money's great. The fame, eh, not so much. But the work itself is mind-numbing. Really, I've been involved in a couple of films, and they're mind-numbing. I just recently discovered I'm on IMDb, which is kind of interesting. But still, it's I didn't put it there. It's a thing. It happens. But you work in this industry, and that's what comes to mind. So with that being said, you have to beware of these people too, you know, because they're out there. They are certainly out there. They're out to take everything that they can get because they don't have the talent necessary to make it work. Because the talent is really one, it's a key ingredient, mind you, but it's only one part of it. I mean, obviously without talent, you're not going to go anywhere. But if that's all you got is talent, you ain't going to go very far at all either. So, well, the guy's a talent. Yeah, he's all right. But man, is he just, you know, he's a pain in the ass. I have to be dying every day at 5 p.m. so I can go have a drink. It's the world that I live in. It's in my contract. Oh, shut up. You should be lucky you're even getting the work. That's how that is. Am I being bitter about it? Absolutely. After all, those of us that have put all of this time and effort and money in some cases into the things that we do and the things that we're working at, to have it cheapened by somebody who just sits there and decides on a whim over a glass of wine that they've decided that they're going to be the next greatest thing. And you know what? I am going to be that. And there's nothing you can say or do or think. And I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I know these people, I know that person, and It's funny regarding this woman that I've been speaking of. I hate to use the term. I went nuclear. I know we've heard about it in Congress. I went nuclear. I ended the relationship with this person. There's no speaking to this person because this woman would not shut up, and I said something that I would have reserved for, I don't know, for cases like this, and I'll probably never use it again. I destroyed this woman's ego in a moment. Now she thinks I'm just a horrible human being, which is fine because it works out. Now I don't have to deal with her, you see. And as it turns out, there's all these people around me that know of this situation, and they're like, man, I wish I had the balls to do what you did. It's simple. Just do it. It's like anything else. If you want to try it, try it. If you want to do it, by God, do it and quit fuck around with it. That's just go out there and make it happen. But I'll be damned if the people that I represent in this business and the work that I do as just being one small cog in this thing, if it's going to be cheapened by somebody who thinks that they have what it takes to be the best thing and that's all there is to it and you suck. That's just the way that is. And it's sad. It's unfortunate. And my best advice to this woman, get out.
You can now learn guitar in a structured manner online and do it at your pace. From absolute beginners to advanced players, the New York City Guitar School can get you on the right path on guitar proficiency for less than $30 a month. Look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com and get started today. And right now, there's even a free course called Guitar Hacks for Beginners you can take to see if this course is even right for you. Look at their ad at radio-memphis.com right now and get started.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
The Memorial Day weekend had been ruined for the city of Memphis because we got hit with a pretty nasty storm Saturday night. It was a big deal. It came through here. It was straight line winds. There were reports, as scattered and weird as they were, there's a community that's north of here called Fraser, and apparently they got winds up around 100 miles an hour up through there. That's intense. I can tell you this, in the middle part of the city where we live here in Cooper Young, I happened to be outside because I was waiting on the immigrant to pull in. She was coming in from wherever it was that she was doing that. Like, she was working, and she damn near got hit by a damn tree that came down. 200-something trees had been knocked down in the city, which wreaked all sorts of havoc.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, Player.fm, Stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Jesus, it gets frustrating sometimes when you're dealing with this sort of thing. Like, I know. Oh, God. I'm just crushing these people's dreams. Well, that's just it. If you've got a pile of shit in one hand and a pile of your dreams in the other, what do you got? You got a pile of shit's what you got. That's about all you got. All right, kids, let's get into some music. I want to get to these guys. I've been wanting to put them on for a while, and here it is. They're in the list. They're up and running. They're getting ready to happen right here for you. These guys have been around a long time. Alvin Oliveira has this band that he has been with for many, many years. Oliveira is the actual name of the act. They're a lot of fun. They're a great rock and roll band, and they've got this great song. It's called These Days, and here it is, Oliveira from Radioland.
Baby, you're so bad.
The song is called These Days. That's Olivera right here from Radioland. Alvin was also involved in a in another outfit called Lamar Avenue Love, I believe was the name of the act. I love the name of it. Those of you that aren't from Memphis would get it, would not get it, because Lamar Avenue Love, there's a Lamar Avenue here. It's one of the main drags in the town, and it's a big long street, and there's a lot of, well, there's a lot of prostitution that works up and down Lamar Avenue, so that's where that comes to Lamar Avenue Love. It's great. That's fantastic. It's a great little inside joke. All right, kids, that's it. You've heard what's coming up next time. Until then, I got to run. Got places to go, people to deal with, and got to duck the assholes. You know what I mean? That's what we all got to do. Got to hold our heads up high, all right? You do the same thing. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other, huh? We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.